Hi, and welcome to Faith Points, a weekly podcast from Faith Point United Methodist Church. If you'd like to join us for worship on Sunday morning, or just want some more info, visit us on the web at faithpointum.org, or you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/faithpointum, or you can find us on Facebook. And now, a weekly message from Pastor Chris Bishop.
We're kind of continuing on with this How to Be Rich series, and so as we do that, I want to start off today by just kind of sharing a story that happened to my wife this week as she was at the hospital down the road a little bit, finishing up a hospital visit. She is also a pastor, and she was doing work that day, and just coming out, and there was a guy standing beside the credit card money taker machines, right? That you put your card in so you can actually be released from the parking garage, so you're not held hostage there. And he's just standing there, and he's like, hey, the credit card part doesn't work on this. And she's like, oh, okay. So she's, you know, like everyone who would just come up, you go, okay, guy. And she tries her card, and it doesn't work. And she had cash for her, you know, $5 of parking or whatever. And as she goes, oh man, I had $5, it was great. And then she looks at the guy who's still standing there. Clearly, he's been there for a while. And she goes, oh, well, here's $5. Like, so she paid for his parking because she is a gracious person. And he said, oh man, thank you so much. I don't have any cash. And I had to wait for 10 people to go through before somebody even offered to pay for my parking. Isn't that ridiculous? Like 10 people, and I don't, you know, you're not having a good day most of the time. Like, unless you are at the labor and delivery wing, everything else is a bad day at the hospital, right? And so, like, Katie had been visiting, and it wasn't a good day, and this guy, I'm sure, was stressed, and, you know, it's anxiety-producing even sometimes just to get onto hospital grounds, much less than knowing that your car is being held hostage because you don't have the $5 to make sure that you can get out. And so what Katie was doing was more than meets the eye of this simple act of just saying, well, I've got $5, you need $5, let's do this thing, right? She was doing something that our scripture calls us to today. She was building the kingdom. And so for the past few weeks or so, we've been talking about this idea of how to be rich, and we've been basing it on a book by Andy Stanley with the same name. And so as we continue this conversation in some of the chapters, Andy has this wonderful imagery of Civil War General McClellan. You remember McClellan? He had, like, on paper, he was the perfect poster child of what you would want in a commanding leader. Like, he was all put together, as you know, all the reports said, General McClellan. His uniform was great. He looked like a leader. He could train his men. His men were great and well-resourced. They were the kind of best of the best. And yet, time and time and time again, when the situation called for it, he kind of balked and didn't move into action as he should, to the point that then Lincoln came and looked at one of the guys that he was kind of touring the battlefields with and assessing the troops, and he said something to the effect of, you know, these aren't my troops, they're just McClellan's bodyguards. Which was an interesting statement. And then pretty soon after that, McClellan was relieved from duty. But essentially what he meant is that McClellan saw the army as his and not as the army's, right? That it was, they were his men, and they were going to do his bidding and for his will. And what that usually meant was they were going to hold back and essentially just make sure that he was safe. Interesting, right? Interesting that he had all of these resources, that he was rich with the supplies that he needed, with the food, with the men, with this, you know, with the intelligence, with everything, and he failed to engage in the primary objective of why he was there, for the simple fact that he lost sight and thought that they were his men. And if we think about that and think about our scripture today, we hear another story where a man falls into this trap of thinking wrongly that what he possesses is his. And so Jesus tells this parable to these brothers that are bickering about finances and money, and if there's anything that you want to do to alienate family quicker, it's talk about how to divide up money, right? And so here he is, and he talks about how this guy had this wonderful harvest, and so what he was going to do is he was going to hoard it, and he was going to take it, and so right there in our scripture it says, you know, enough for several years, take it easy, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. He said to himself, I mean, that doesn't sound too bad, right? I mean, there's, I'm willing to bet, and there are days and times and everything else that like down the future, you know, when I have a foot and a half into the grave, I know that I might be able to retire one day maybe. And that doesn't sound like a bad idea. You know, just take it easy. But what we have to remember is that the way that our Luke passage says is that this is the way that we are, but that would be rich towards ourselves and not rich towards God, as the last passage or last verse of our scripture tells us. And so, you know, what we have is that we have this choice to make. We have one of two options when we start to realize or understand that wealth or those things that we have and the possessions and how we use them. First, we can choose to build castles, like the man in our scripture did, amass big, feels right? Castles. Amass these things that we can live a happy, wonderful, most wonderful place on earth kind of life. We can be like McClellan and kind of forget and say, I'm going to amass things and I'm going to make sure that there is this buffer of safety around me. What do castles have around them? Moats, right? Why? To keep people out, yeah? And so when we build castles, we insulate ourselves from everything else. It's that, well, I'm going to build these silos full of stuff, and then I'm going to insulate myself, so all I have to do is kind of step back and eat, drink, and be merry. But when we step back, we can't effectively engage in what God has called us to. And so when we start to build these castles, we realize that we're insulating ourselves. Now, a book I read this week kind of made this dichotomy and said, you know, we can either build castles or we can build kingdoms. And so here's a map of the Magic Kingdom with that same castle in the front. I think this map must have been from early 70s or so, right? Like, it's one of those originals. But as you can see, though, branching out from that, the castle's kind of in the middle, but then to go to all the different, like, Tomorrowland, Fantasyland, you know, all of those different places, how do you get there? There's not a moat, but there are bridges. And so you walk over bridges. So that when we think about the ways in which we are called, then, not to build castles, but to build kingdoms. Kingdoms then have bridges leading to them, so that what? Does that keep people out? No, it invites them in. And so when we have that right mentality of how to be rich, we are reminded and called to be these people that are building kingdoms, because it's way more fun to encounter that than it is just to encounter that first picture, right? The first picture is going, oh, wow, this is a pretty cool house. But man, that's a place where you can be. The hard part comes when we realize that when we're building our castles, it's all about us. But when we're building the kingdom, we have to think about everyone else, don't we? And so there's this reminder that comes from that second passage that Ben read for us that says, you know, tell the people who are rich at this time to not become egotistical or like place their hopes in their finances, which are uncertain. Instead, they need to hope in God, who richly provides everything for their enjoyment. Tell them, here's the best part, it says, tell them to do good. Be good rich people. Do the good things and to be generous and share with others. Essentially, right there is some of the bulk of how to be rich and to remember and to realize that we are called to be kingdom builders versus castle builders, or to realize that all of the stuff that we have was first God's, and that portion that we are giving back is to build that kingdom larger, right? And so, like, we're not going to fall into that trap that McClellan did of saying, these are my men, this is my army, and fail to engage in the thing that matters most. And so we have three quick points today, talking about how we might then inoculate ourselves to falling into that trap of thinking that these finances, resources, and riches are our own and not God's. The first is that we make giving a priority. So we have three P points because it's a sermon, so we've got to have good alliteration today, right? And so this quote from John Wesley is absolutely beautiful, and it shares the heart of who Wesley was in so many different ways. It says, "When I have money, I get rid of it quickly, lest it find a way into my heart." That's pretty good, right? Oh, man. Now, in your bulletin today, in your Monday moment, there's a little snippet there and then a weird kind of shortened URL that you can go to that talks about and kind of gives some synopsis to. Wesley had this wonderful sermon, and he was super organized. So sermon number 50 in John Wesley's kind of preaching rotation was in the use of money and how we are called to do that. Take a look at that. Let me know your thoughts, because, man, Wesley was good, but also, we'll find out in a little bit, he really did practice what he preached. So it was, you know, once I have that, I want to figure out the most faithful way I can use it, lest the money find its way into my heart, my finances. I don't want to serve those two masters, right? And so as we look at that and as we think about that, what we do is we see that God asks for our best offering, right? I want the first fruits of what you have, not the leftovers. We see that when it was finances, but we also see that before that time when they were offering up of your first flock, your first grain, your first harvest, all of these things. Essentially, God is saying that if you don't give me the first, if you don't prioritize what you are doing and giving back, in whatever way that is. That could be to the church, but it also could be, you know, to your alma mater. It could be to other civic organizations to help build the kingdom. So it's not just right here, but it's in all of those different ways. If you don't first prioritize that, there's this way that our finances have of going, okay, well, at the end of the month, at the very last kind of dregs of the coffers, we don't have it there, right? And so it's prioritizing those funds is one of those primary ways that we can live into being rich. And making giving a priority begins with where you are now versus where you think you might be in 2, 3, 4 years, right? You can't wait for all the cards to line up before you start that priority giving, because if you try to wait, is it ever going to happen? No, right? It's just like so many other things in life. It's today that it starts. And then it kind of leads us into this second point, which is then we look and God kind of throughout Scripture talks about how there is this gift of percentage giving, and you just start somewhere. That's kind of Andy Stanley's favorite thing. Is he's like, I don't care where you start, just start somewhere and have that conversation and prioritize that giving and then say, how much could we offer up? How much could we use for kingdom building in whatever kingdom that might be? And then start there and do that. And when we look at that, we see that passage from Luke where the widow gives her two copper coins, her two pennies, and then there's other people giving larger numbers of dollars, but she's given sacrificially of all that she has. Man, that's risky, right? That's like when we think about the farm illustrations of the farmers that go, man, I don't know if we're going to make it through. It was a lean year. We didn't have a very good harvest, but we've got to plant some of those seeds so that we can then have a harvest next year. It creates anxiety, but it's what we're called to. And I know that for the way that we work, you know, for the Bishop family, we've worked hard at this kind of percentage giving and looking at that. And around this time each year after taxes are submitted, you know, we look and we sit down and we look at where we've been. We say, what was that percentage? We don't really focus on the dollar amount, but we say, where have we given and what does that number look like? And each year we do that, because that leads us to our third point, which is, you know, giving is progressive. It's this way of realizing that different life circumstances and changes start to happen. And so where you start isn't always where you finish. Or the analyst says, you know, as your financial systems change throughout your life, change your giving along with it. And so we started, the Bishop family started at like like 3%, I think, back, you know, when we were just starting out, and we had to try to figure out how we give to not only a church that I serve, but the church or churches that my wife serves, and doing all that, and making sure that one of us knows what the other's doing. And sometimes that was harder than other times, because we would, you know, and it wouldn't always equal out, but it was where we felt like the need was. And so as we kind of grew in our generosity, right now, we've given percentage-wise, we've given more this past year than we have in our entire 12 years-ish of marriage. And we were pretty proud of that. That's something that we look back on in our accountant. Like, I think I shared this with you last week, that our accountant goes, "You guys need to stop giving so much." And we're like, you know what we do, right? Like, it's hard for us to then ask and say, "Hey, you guys need to be generous," and us be like, "Oh, we're going to give like 1%. No, that's not the way it works. And so every year we have this back and forth with her, but every year then we say, but this is where we're called to grow. Again, Wesley was one of the founder, or one of the ways that he kind of made this forerunning, and, you know, was practicing what he preached about, that whole not letting money get into your heart. And so his first year teaching at the Oxford School, he decided, "I'm going to give 10% of this really meager salary." And so he lived on just basically nothing. And throughout his time teaching and leading and growing, you know, what he did was he stayed at that kind of style of living, of that lifestyle cost, and he continued to increase that percentage of giving. And so he stayed in the house built for and made for those first-year teachers, those adjunct faculty. And then when he got essentially tenure and was there for a while and was doing all kinds of stuff, he was still living that same way, doing that same thing, because his mentality, and kind of one of those famous Wesley quotes was, "The world is my parish," right? And so I'm not here just to build me up and my stuff, but I'm kingdom building, and I'm trying to do the best that I could with what I have been given. It's a pretty powerful story. He's one of those guys that you look at, you go, man, he had it together, and if I could get like a tenth of the way there, I'd be pretty good, right? Like he was pretty good about that. And so when we look at these three things, they remind us that it's all God's stuff. We just get to be stewards over. We get to look after it for a little while. We get to be stewards over this thing, and we are called to build something. And last night at Faith Point Online, Ben's message, he talked about, you know, what we are building, and he's talking about what we're building with our sweat equity. And some of that rang true then for me, and I thought, man, we're kind of talking about the same thing. We're just using different modes, different ways and resources to do that. But he talked a lot about, what are you building? And that's kind of our so what question today. When we think about those kingdoms that we are called to build, when we think about, you know, and look at the castle. Now, if one of the cool things about Disney that often is overlooked or not known is that, go back, Ben, for just one second, is that if you were to, right there at that little kind of overhang, right? If you were to stand about right there and just turn around, so you're not looking at the castle anymore, but you're looking at the backside of that. Now go to that next slide. On the second floor of all the Disney windows, right there is Walt's window that kind of looks at the castle, but the entire second floor around Disney has people's names on them who helped build that kingdom, which is kind of awesome, right? And so there are these, you know, he's the Graduate School of Design, Master in Planning. And so they kind of like not only put the names there, but a little bit about what they're known for. Isn't that kind of neat? Isn't that kind of a great reminder of the way in which we are called to be kingdom builders? It doesn't say that he had a vision for this one castle and he built it up. And look at the House of Walt. It's something so much bigger. And so all around, go to that next picture then. There's other ones. So here's two more, you know, leadership development and mentoring with Meg Crofton. And, you know, there's just all around Disney, there are these beautiful windows that kind of point towards something. And so I'm gonna ask you a question that in your next step sheet, there's a blank square right there. Okay, I challenge you during our next song, because our next song's kind of mellow, right, Ben? And so you can stay seated for that, but think as we sing together, write down or draw, you know, like what your window might look like if you were to invest in the kingdom, put your name, and maybe a word or two, or something that you are investing in. And to get your minds thinking, I'm going to go back to that story about Katie in the parking garage. And so she paid for that guy, and he looked at her, and she, like I said, she was in pastor mode. And so sometimes when she is in pastor mode and needs to not have to deal with the, like, lady pastor questions, because those happen more often than we would think. Oh, are you a real pastor? Boop, aren't you cute, right? That would be the wrong thing to do when she's there. So she had her collar on, okay? So to kind of get around that, it's weird how those things don't happen when she has her collar on. And so he said to her, though, he said, would you have helped me out if you weren't wearing that, pointing to her collar? Isn't that an interesting question? Would you have really helped me out? And it's fair and it's honest and it says a lot about him. And she called me afterwards and she's like, and then you know what he did? He asked me, would I have done this if I hadn't been wearing my collar? And I thought, what a powerful question. And thinking about that, you know, I 100% know that my wife would have helped him beyond, because she's the one that makes us pay for people, you know, behind us in the drive-thrus and does all the things and all the stuff, and you know, and it's great, and she is super generous, and so like anytime anybody asks, she's there, she's the first one. And so thinking about Katie's window, I think that maybe hers would, you know, it would have her name, but not super huge, but fairly small, and it would say building the kingdom when no one is looking. Because that is her. Man, we vacuumed her church this week because there was a group that left it a little bit dirty. And she's like, well, we got to go make it ready for the weekend. Nobody saw us. Nobody knew. Well, now you guys do. But, right? But when we think about what it is to be rich, when we think about prioritizing what that looks like, when we think about planning it out and knowing that we are going to give this percentage to God and then say, and next year, for now, this is good, but next year it's going to be bigger, you know, better, whatever. It's going to reflect more of where our heart is. We're etching our own windows. We're investing in that kingdom so that it's not just this castle that people go, man, it would be cool to visit there one time. But man, I'm really proud to be a part of investing and making that place a reality. Isn't that awesome? And we get to do that. We are invited in to be rich and be those people. And so as we sing our next song, think about, what would your window look like? What would those words be? I'd love to see them. Let's pray. Wonder-working God, we give you thanks for that way in which you call us not only to be rich, but to be good at it, to reflect your kingdom, to build it up, whether it be through brick by brick, whether it be through sweat equity, whether it be $5 at a time for those standing at the parking garage, or just when no one's looking. God, we ask that you be with us as we continue to look and evaluate and prioritize where those ways in which we can be better stewards are, so that we can bring about your kingdom and build that kingdom rather than our own personal castles. God of grace, it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.